Sometimes I think it'd be good to be an evangelist. You can run in and preach, make everybody feel good and leave, and leave the pastor there to take care of everything. Sometimes the pastor can't preach all the time and make everybody feel good. I wish we could, but that's not the case most of the time. But I hope this morning the Lord will help us. I feel like I've got the mind of God. That's not going to be anything but a little sugar stick, so I hope you'll enjoy it this morning. Amen. And not a whole lot, really, but just I feel like it's what God has laid on my heart for this morning. I'm going to try to preach to you a little while and try to help the church. And I feel like it will. Song of Solomon, chapter number 1, please. The Song of Solomon in chapter number 1. And when you find your place there, if you'll stand together, we'll read our text this morning. Song of Solomon. Now on, Douglas. Song of Solomon and chapter number 1. Let's begin reading. In fact, let's read verse number 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let us look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the good spirit in the house of God this day. And Lord, for the good music that has graced our hearts this morning. I thank You for the fellowship we've enjoyed and the Word of God that we have before us. And it's my prayer, Lord, that You would save old sinners today by the grace of God and stir up Your people. And fill us, I pray, with Your Holy Spirit this morning, that we might leave this place rejoicing in God. And we'll thank You, and we'll praise You, Lord, for all that You do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. My text says, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon. If there's one thing I noticed during our 5 nights with Brother Pace, it was the fact that our music took a new twist, if I may use it that way. It seemed as though that the singing was seasoned with grace and blessed by the Holy Ghost. And there's nothing like good spirit-filled music in the house of God. And so in light of that, I want to try, if I may this morning, to preach for a little while on singing in the holy place. Singing in the holy place. Somebody said, preacher, I thought preachers had to preach in the holy place. Well, that's right, but I believe singing to be proper and right and blessed will also have to be sang in the holy place. Somebody said, preacher, I thought men of God were all that needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, if we're going to preach the way we ought to preach and glorify the Lord and exhort the saints and rebuke sin, men of God, yes, indeed, they must be unctionized by the Holy Ghost. But I want to say to you, if you are going to sing the way the Lord has recorded us to sing in His Bible, then you, alongside the preacher, are going to have to sing in the Holy Ghost. And there is a holy place that we can get to in our life whereby our singing will bring honor and glory unto His name. And I'll assure you, it will bring a greater amount of joy down at the house of God. I'll tell you, there's nothing like singing to rejoice the hearts of God's people. In fact, there's nothing like music to stir up individuals. They'll sing that today and yesterday and today over to Hell Hole at Central City, and the Waverly Brothers will be there. That's Everly, by the way. I understand their name. But them and a bunch more of those other hellions will be over there. And I'll guarantee you that all kinds of people, numbers of people, will go into that place stirred, and they'll leave that place stirred because the music has done that. And I'm going to tell you, shame unto us when we come to the house of God and make our little feeble effort at singing in the Holy Ghost and instead of leaving the church with a good spirit and happy in our soul, my friend, we leave the house of God dead and dry and in worse shape than it was when we come. I tell you, if we'll come to church and sing the hymns of the faith and sing them in the Holy Ghost, we can listen to preach it, and it might skin our hide up one side and down the other. But I tell you, if singing has got your heart right, the preaching will be all right too. If it's biblical, you can say amen to it, my friend. I heard Brother Purser say this morning that the Bible said we ought to preach doctrine and doctrine rebuked. And he said we ought to rebuke sin. And if our hearts are right with God, even when sin is rebuked, my friend, and preaching on sin can rejoice the hearts of God's people. When I read about sin and realize in preaching or singing that I've been delivered from its penalty, I've been delivered from its power, I've been delivered from its pleasure, and shall be delivered from its presence, it rejoices my heart when God conveys that great truth unto my soul. Singing in the Holy Ghost. Amen to God. Amen. Singing in the holy place. I'm talking about getting back behind the veil in the presence of God and singing praises to Him in the holy place. Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. I want to begin by saying that the Jewish people considered the Bible, all Scripture, as being holy. Now I'm going to tell you, my friend, we ought to likewise. The Bible is a holy book. The church house is a holy place. Our singing and preaching ought to be holy. Our living ought to be holy. In order to do that, it'll have to be accomplished because we preach and live and sing by a holy book that God has preserved for us in the King James 1611 Bible. Amen. Now, they called the Scriptures holy. But those old Jewish men of God, and even some of the more modern day Orthodox Jews, consider the Song of Solomon to be the Holy of Holies. Amen. Of all the writings in the Bible, they consider this book to be that book that is behind the veil in that most of holy place. I can see most of you don't know a thing about the tabernacle. Amen. It had an altar outside and a brazen laver. It also had a door going into the outer court. But it also had a holy place. And there was a veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And it was back there, my friend, that the Ark of the Covenant was. And it was back there, my friend, that the Shekinah glory of God was made present. And it was back there, my friend, where the Lord dwelt. I'm going to tell you what we need to do, Brother Ricky, is to get into the presence of God, back behind the holy place, and sing, my friend, praises to God. God, in the holy place. Hallelujah to God. Amen. In the holy place was the glory of the Lord made manifest. Brother, there ain't a whole lot of the manifestation of His glory these days. Now I'm telling you, I've said it a number of times, I'll say it again, that the Bible said in the book of Corinthians, unto Him be glory in the church, world without end, or ages without end. Now I'm telling you, my friend, we ought to be able to come to the house of God
Amen. And sing in the Holy Ghost, and preach in the Holy Ghost, and pray in the Holy Ghost, and back behind the veil, until the glory of God will manifest itself down at the house of God. I don't know about you, but I'd like to see her get thick like it did when the temple was dedicated. That the saints of God had to get on the outside before they could not stand the glory of the Lord that settled in that place. Most Baptists know absolutely nothing about the glory of God. Buddy old Noah went up on the mountain and sat down, and God gave him the tables of the law. When he came up of that mountain after 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible said that his face shone with the glory of God. In fact, the glory was so bright, my friend, that they asked him to put a veil over his face that they'd not have to look upon such a radiant, a glorious, a bright appearance that his face was given off. Now, I want to say, my friend, that was under the law. God said in the New Testament, if the giving of the law was that glorious, how much more glorious shall it be in the economy of the day of grace in which you and I are living? I'm telling you, my friend, we need to sing and preach and pray in the holy place. Praise God, I'm feeling pretty good. Hallelujah to God. That glory was manifest there. That glory was manifest there. Amen. Therefore, our singing unto Him ought to be a glorious place. Now somebody said, how do you get that? Because if the Song of Solomon is the Holy of Holies, and it is the song of songs, then singing ought to be a real glorious thing in the lives of God's people. I want to say, my friend, that old John Gill, and I said this the other night, but John Gill made this statement. He said, singing in the Holy Ghost is next to living in a glorified state. I'm telling you, if God's people ever come to the house of God and get ravished by His love, amen, and just fall head over heels in love with Jesus and realize that we're not singing to one another, but we're singing unto the Lord who loved us and died for us, and our praises is unto Him. I tell you, it has caused us to get down in our heart, get in the holy place, and sing to Him. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now I want you to notice something else. That this, my text says, the Song of Songs,
amen,
which Solomon wrote. It's not just one of them. It's the Song of Songs, which Solomon wrote. I found, by the way, in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 32, that Solomon wrote 3,000 Proverbs.
Amen.
And along with those 3,000 Proverbs, he wrote 1,005 Psalms. Amen. Amen to God. Somebody said, well, I don't know this. I'm just giving you this as a little throw out. I believe one for every year of the millennial reign. Praise God 1,000 while we'll be in the rain, singing praises unto God, and 5 more because it took the grace of God. Hallelujah to God to get us there. Amen. Yes, sir. He wrote 3,000 Proverbs and 1,005 songs. But the Song of Solomon was the Song of Songs. It was number one. The greatest masterpiece that man can write was the Song of Songs that Solomon wrote. What a song. A song of songs. I guarantee you, if it was around today, the way it ought to be, and it is around today. It's right there. I just read the first verse out of it. It's there. But if it was sang the way it ought to be sang, my friend, in the holy place, it had hit the number one chart. Somebody said the other day at most of the radio stations, all they want to do on Saturday afternoon, I'm talking about gospel stations, is play the countdown. Top 10 countdown. That takes me back to when I was a boy living in idolatry. Amen to God. They wanted to do the countdown down at WKLO in Louisville. I'll never forget it. Way back in the early 50s. Hole number one was a white sport coat and a pink carnation. But hallelujah to God, I'm glad today that number one is a lily and it lives in the valley. Number one is a rose and it dwells in Sharon. And number one is the first that ever was. And he's the last also. I'm glad, thank God, that hey, we're singing to the glory of God. Come to church muffle mouth. Act like we got locked jaw. I bet you ain't got locked jaw when you sit down to the table and eat after a while. You'll loosen up. You'll get some oil on them jawbone muscles. And when you can get out of the church, your mouth will loosen up a little bit and your lungs will get exercised and you'll run your mouth 95 miles a minute. Some of you come to church and can't fellowship with nobody, can't talk to nobody, can't say, hello, preacher, how you doing? Or to nobody else and can't sing, muffle mouth, because you got a problem. Hey, I'm talking about laying aside our problems, friend. Amen to God and making our way into the holy place and a singing to the Lord. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Yeah, this one would no doubt hit number one on the charts, buddy. It wouldn't be Pag, and it wouldn't be the Kingsman. Neither would it be the Cathedral Quartet or any of the rest of that crowd. And somebody said, well, who would it be? Somebody'd have to sing it. I'm glad, thank God, somebody brought that up. I'm going to tell you who would be singing it. That little blood-bought remnant that sat on our pews. Trouble with this thing now. It must be demonized. Amen. That's right. You're going to be man tore up if you fool me. Amen. That's right. Now, everybody stay with me now. Songs, most songs now that's supposed to be sang, are made up basically of two parts. One of them, one part, is the verses. And the second part is the chorus. And the verses are all different, should be, with different words and different thoughts. But on most songs, of course, is the same thing. Now look here. Solomon's song and all spiritual songs has got two parts in it. Somebody said, what are they? Praise God, I'm glad you asked. I'm about ready to fly. Hallelujah to God. They're made up of the verses and the chorus likewise. And our Lord is a singing the verses because He's always got something new to relate to us. But the chorus remains the same. It's praise from our lips, adoration from our heart, and singing in the Holy Ghost to Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. Yes, sir. Hey, look here. Him singing to us. And us singing to Him. Where is He at today? He is in the holy place. And He's there singing to us. And my friend, if you're going to sing to Him, you're going to have to get back there where the Lord's at. Two parts. Him singing to us and us singing to Him. Singing in the holy place. Filling both parts and bringing glory to God. Fellowshipping with our Lord and He with us that we might be stirred and blessed and revived in our souls. A song of songs. Not a song, but a song. Singing and making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Amen. With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. singing, as Paul put in Colossians, with grace in our hearts, making melody unto the Lord. Oh, yes, sir. If I noticed anything, I noticed, my friend, a different tone in the music 5 nights at Island Ford Baptist Church. I liked the preaching. Thank God for the preaching. Preaching stirred my soul. But the amazing thing to me, amen, and I'm not knocking preaching, but the amazing thing to me was that this little handful of insignificant nobodies that God, by His omnipotent grace, had lifted up out of the dust, my friend, and set them in a king's palace. They had a different sound in their voice, a different ring in the sing, a different power in the heart, a different zeal for the Lord. I'm here to tell you, my friend, we need to come to church and get in the holy place and let Him sing to us and us say to Him, that's fulfilling of the commandments of the Bible. It's just as much a commandment to sing as it is to tithe your income. That's right. When God tells you to sing, don't you chide these little boys like Joshua and Andrew and Jeremy standing up here singing. Bless God, I wish them would rub off on some of you adults. Some of you teenagers. Some of you young folk. Hallelujah to God. Yeah, amen. Sing! 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 Have you ever looked through the Bible to see how many times sing, song, and sung is in the Word of God? It's over and over and over again. And God meant something when He put it there. It's designed for you and I that we might glorify Him in our worship service today. Ain't no wonder. Brother George sang two congregational songs this morning. I believe it had praise him in both of them. Huh? Hallelujah to God. Amen. Now, I'm about to get there. Amen. Oh, yes. Now, the first time a song is mentioned in the Bible. Now, it's mentioned, I believe, in Genesis. I think, and I'd have to go back and look at it, sure, but I believe when Elimelech, when Jacob, I believe, was leaving the house of Laban, going back to Canaan, the word song is mentioned. Laban said, "Why don't you tarry around here a little while, and we'll send you away with mirth and with song." But they never did sing anything. Do you know where the first time they really sung a song? Oh, I'm glad you asked, Brother Hall. Woo! And it sticks true today. There is a principle of Bible interpretation called the first mention principle. That is, the way something is mentioned the first time in the Bible is the way it stands true throughout all the Bible, and it will never change. Hallelujah to God. No, sir, you know where it is? I'm glad you asked. Exodus 15, chapter number 1, the song that old Moses sang. Hallelujah to God. And you know what it was? It was a song of victory. I'm telling you, the songs had victory in the Word of God. They had just come out of Egypt with a high hand. Amen. Blood on the doorposts and the lintels of the house. Firstborn of Egypt dead. Not a paw dog wagged its tail or licked its tongue. But God's people had come out of the house of bondage, out of the iron furnace, and crossed the mighty Red Sea and stood on the other side and waved by to their enemies forever. I'm telling you, my friend, we ought to sing because there's victory in our heart, because we have been delivered. First time songs ever sang was when they crossed that sea and God had delivered them. And they were singing a song of deliverance. Song of saints on higher ground. Have you been delivered this morning? Oh, Psalm 40. He lifted me up also out of a horrible pit. Oh, yeah, set my feet on a solid rock, established my goings, and what? Put a song in my mouth. What kind of a song? A song of sweet deliverance. Oh, I'm glad, Brother Mark, that He came to where you were on that day. Hallelujah to God. Whether it was on the bridge, under the bridge, above the bridge, or flying.
cloud in the sky. I'm glad he came to where you was and lifted you out. I'm glad that he came to where Kim was in that bedroom at Bobby's house. Woo! And lifted her out. I'm glad he came to 5 rows back where I was and lifted me out. And I've got a song of deliverance to sing today. And I want to sing it in the holy place. I want to say secondly now, the second time a song is mentioned. So see, there is songs of deliverance. The second time a song is mentioned. You know where it's at? Exodus 32. You know what they're doing? They're doing the same thing there that they're doing in Central City today. They're singing around a golden calf. And by the way, two in the Bible is always a number of division. And that day when they sang around the golden calf, it divided the people of God. Amen. The Levites went in and out of the camp and slew about 3,000 of them that day with a sword. Somebody said, what was they singing? They're singing around a golden calf and singing songs of idolatry. Now I'm here. Hey! Look right up here, Brother Hall. Son, they ain't no such thing as contemporary. And no such thing as gospel rock. No such thing as rock. Rockabilly, hillbilly, or any other kind of billy. Only Billy I know is Billy Wicks. Hallelujah to God. Ain't no rockabilly junk. No siree. It's idolatry. I'm here to tell you the only two kinds of songs that is sang are spiritual songs and idolatrous songs. Hallelujah to God. And you're singing one of the two of them. Brother Dwayne King told me, he said he's in church and having a meeting, and said on Sunday morning, finishing that meeting out, and said the evangelist was there, I forget who it was, and said the church had been on fire, and said one family in the church said they brought a visitor in, come find out it was their relation. And they said, and by the way, we never do this here. We ain't going to do it unless in camp meeting or jubilee. Just put somebody on this platform and a member of this church. Forget it. I don't care who it is. They said that boy said they come in that family, said, Brother King, Pastor, said this is so-and-so, and said he's a tremendous singer. Said, if you want, you let him sing a special in church this morning. He said, well, I believe I will. And he got him up, and he got his little jam box out and started playing canned music. That's number two that we'll never do here as long as I'm the pastor. Don't even ask it. Don't ask it. We don't can in music. That's God. It's either in a cappella or by the piano or a guitar, a fiddle or a banjo. But we ain't bringing in a boom box and singing to a boom box while in the background somebody's a singing, ooh, why did he did it, whoop, whoop, sing it, brother, go to say, way to coming on that junk. They said that fella got up and sang, and he sang, I forget what it was he sang. Maybe it was like that. Maybe it was He Come to Me. But when he finished out, old Brother King said he walked out to the edge of the platform like this and said, He came to me. Said when he got done singing, old Brother King said, I walked up on the platform. That fellow sat down. He said, Brother King said, well, said, I want to thank God for sending Frankie Avalon by our way this morning. Idolatry. Sing around the golden calf. I'm here to tell you what's going on in Central City today is a stench in the nostrils of God. I tell you what troubles my soul is that an independent, fundamental, premillennial Baptist preacher will stand on a platform and say grace over that mess. Then let it begin. I'm telling you, that's wicked as hell. Somebody said, what's his name? Ted Everly. I said, Brother Hall, you ought to say, I don't mind to rebuke the devil. Maybe it's so. Maybe we need to preach, wake up, little Teddy. How in God's name can a Baptist preacher stand on a platform and ask God to bless somebody, two drunks, dope addicts, singing, wake up, little Susie? Son, if you've got the answer for that, I'll tell you what the Song of Songs would do. I'll tell you what the author of the Song of Songs would do.
He'd roll over in his grave if he's dead, but the author of it's not dead. He's alive, and he won't roll over in his grave. He will bring judgment.
Hallelujah to God. Glory. They sang first time songs of victory. They sang the second time, they sang songs of idolatry. Now, I'm not going through all of them, but I may preach on songs for a while down at Ford Baptist Church and singing to try to help us a little bit. Amen. I'm glad, according to Psalm 77:6, Brother Wayne, there's songs in the night. Hallelujah to God. And that don't necessarily mean at night. Bless your heart when you're laying in your bed and the sun's went down. That's talking about when the sun goes down in your soul and you're discouraged. And your heart's broken and your spirit's crushed and you're bewildered and don't know which way to turn. And bless God, you walking through the valley and it seems like the sun never will shine again and seems like nobody loves you. I'm glad. Thank God! Amen to God. He'll give us a song in the night. And if we'll get in a holy place and sing those songs back to Him in the night season, He will show mercy over and over and over and over again to us. Somebody said, I ain't got a voice to sing. I didn't know He asked you to have one. Not in congregational singing. Now, most of the Psalms was given to the chief musician. He was skilled. Knew what he was doing when it come to music. Huh? Then I want to say that there's a song of benediction. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 30. When those disciples had sat, bless your heart, in that upper room and fellowship with the Lord, and old John the Divine had laid his head over on the breast of Jesus, and they dunked that bread, my friend, and eat bread. They dipped the bread and eat that bread and drank the fruit of the vine. And when he said, I'll drink no more of the fruit of the vine until we drink it anew in the kingdom of God. Yes, sir, buddy. They had sat in service and had a wonderful, blessed time of Holy Ghost communion down at the house of God. And the Lord said, we're getting ready to go now out into the garden. And it'll be there how that I'll sweat great drops of blood and go on to judgment at Pilate Judgment Hall and then the Calvary and lay my life down being in judgment of this world that I might raise her up again and give life to you. And I won't drink no more. But what I want to do before we go is sing a song of benediction. Woo! Somebody said, why was it a song of benediction? He wasn't a singing no more on this earth. But I've done read down in Revelation 14:3. They sung a song, a benediction there, but they're going to sing a new song. Woo! Over on the other side. It's goodbye down here. Hello over there. And we're going to leave here singing and enter in over there. A singing also. Sing, sing, sing. I pray, I hope you like to sing today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Now, somebody said, what kind of a song was this that old Solomon sang? May I say to you, it was a song of love. It was a song of love. That's what it's all about. Him loving us and singing to us. And us loving Him and singing to Him. The bridegroom and the bride singing backwards and forwards in love with one another. Singing to each other. Have you heard His sweet voice? Have you sang back to Him? Has His sweet voice crushed your heart like it did that little girl that was black but comely? That little old girl, my friend, that waited in her bed like the preacher preached the other night for the groom to come. Have you heard Him singing to you? I hope you have, my friend. Hey, somebody look here. I want to say to you this morning, now you better get this and get it fast, because I'm fixing to move on pretty quickly. He sang to us. Let me just put it this way. Let me rearrange it, and then I'll make my point. Now, I don't mean to embarrass. I'll go to my wife, and that way, if she gets embarrassed, I can give her a big kiss. Amen. No, Lisa's got a handful. We'll go to her.
Let me ask you two a question. When did you first start singing to these kids? Huh? When they were how little?
Ooh,
that's what I wanted to hear. I remember when Miss Hall was pregnant with our three kids, I'd just rub that little old belly hurt, lay my ear down on it, she'd say, "Do you hear him beat? Hear the heart?" And all at once, her belly would go, she'd say, "Oh, stop that." I'd say, "What are they doing?" She said, "Kicking me or hit me." I'd say, "Shame on you, you little rascal. You ought not to kick your mama and hit your mama that way. You be good." And then in a little while, we'd go to singing to them. Lay her head over on mama's belly and go to singing to them little ones while they're in the womb. Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" Have a sad, my friend, that he started singing to us while we was in the womb. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, did he not sing to us when after we were saved?" Well, I'm telling you, my friend, it may have been in an old time gospel meeting that the songster got up and the choir began to sing, and you heard a voice. It wasn't in the earthly choir, but it was in the heavenly choir. You wasn't saved yet, but you's in the birth canal, about ready to come out, and you heard the voice of the Son of God singing sweet songs and hymns to you. Hallelujah to God. Begin to sing while he was in, while you were in the womb. He began to sing. And my friend, if he sang to us while we was in the womb, don't you think now that we've come out? Somebody said, "Preacher, babies don't sing when they come out, don't they?" I know they come out of the womb telling lies, but they are singing a sweet song, ain't they? Wah! Wah! And I'm going to tell you, you wouldn't care how loud that baby is screaming. You'd pick that baby up and say, "Oh, I love you." Look here. Hear me well. You sang to that baby in the womb, mama and daddy, before any of the qualities of life was ever developed in that child. You didn't know what color eyes. And a long time ago, when Sister Hall had hers, they didn't have them things that they can tell you whether it's a boy, a girl, whatever it is. We didn't have any idea what they was. But I'm telling you, we was giving them names. Amen to God and singing to them. Oh, yes, sir. We didn't know what they was, what color hair they had, what color their eyes was, how whether it's going to be tall, short, fat, ugly, homely, sweet, good-looking. We didn't know a thing about them. Hey, before they could ever crawl, before they'd ever wet a diaper or pooped in a diaper, before they ever crawled, before they ever walked, before they ever sung a song or spoke a word, before they ever said goo goo, my my, dad dad, before they ever said ba ba, pa pa, do say, before they ever said anything, my friend, you loved them. I'm here to tell you that God, before we ever spoke a word or developed any kind of qualities, before we prayed, before we sang, before we worshiped, before we read our Bible, He was already singing to us.
Amen.
Huh? Makes me want to sing back. Huh? Makes me want to sing back. May I say, He sang while we was in the womb, and He sings to us willingly. Nobody twisted His arm, friend. He sang to you willingly before you ever knew Him. He was a singing to you in a willing way. I want to say this. Love. Now, I'm not talking about our love for Him right now. I'm talking about His love for us. Love is free willing. It is free willing. And it, amen, it's free willing from advancing and drawing together.
Amen.
Ooh, I'm fixing to fly out of here.
Amen.
Oh, yes, sir. You see all love songs, Brother Eddie Wall? Every love song, even them old kind down there, it says, "A white sports coat and a pink carnation. For I'm all dressed up for the dance." You know what that boy was doing? Son, he was making advances and drawing nigh to that little old girl he was going to take to the dance. And when they got there, their eyes met. Amen to God. And lightning went to flashing, and love sparks went to a flying, and romance began. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying this, my friend, that I love songs. All love songs, and especially spiritual love songs, are designed to draw two lovers together. Now I'm telling you, when he starts singing to us, and we get in the holy place and start singing to him, we draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to us. We advance toward him, he will advance toward us. And I'm singing, my friend, amen, for to draw us together. Ain't that right? I sang to Mrs. Hall. I made up one the other day. She used to date a fellow named Charlie Brandenburg. And I told her that. I said, you don't hear my song? She said, what is it? I said, babe, won't you be my girl? Now, if you won't marry Charlie B, I will take you home with me. Babe, be my girl. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And this morning when Brother George said, let's turn to page 177, and that first note when you said, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer, it sounded like that I heard a voice from another world saying, love you, Gary, my precious Redeemer. I came to earth and I suffered and bled and died. I love you, I'm coming back for you. Carry you to glory, to the presence of God. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, when you said praise Him, I heard Him say, I love you, and it started to draw two lovers together. Amen. But it's got to be willing. It ain't going to force itself on you. That is right. Well, praise God. I'm so drunk, I don't even know where I'm at. Hallelujah. Now, boy, I never get done with songs of love. And by the way, I didn't get this out of a book. This is my outline. Songs of love are written about what the writer loves or delights in. Amen to God. Now I'm telling you, the songs that he writes, my friend, 66 of them in a Bible. He writes because he delights. He wrote about you and I. And he saves us because he delights in us. Somebody said, what did he see in me that he delights in me? Buddy, nothing. G-R-A-C-E, it's grace, grace, grace all the way. I'll try to hurry through these. I want to say, secondly, not only is this a song of songs, which Solomon's, not only a song of love, but it's a song of light. You know, every song will reveal the character of the author of that song. I don't care if it's a secular song or what it is. Huh? That guy that wrote that supposedly quote unquote religious song, and that's all it was religious. One toke over the line, sweet Jesus. One toke over the line, Mary Jo. Singing about smoking marijuana and called it a gospel song because he loved God. I'm going to tell you what that song revealed his character. He's a dope addict! Trying his best to muster up a little bit of religion. But I'm telling you, my friend. The song of Solomon is a song of light, and it reveals the character, my friend, of he that wrote it. Now, I'm just going to brush through these, but it reveals, first of all, his identity. In verse number 4, it says that he is a king. Hallelujah to God. My friend, if you get a hold of that,
There is our King that has written a song, and He's a singing that love song to you this morning because He delights in your soul.
I'm going to tell you what, buddy. Most of the time in the world, drunkards write songs and old dopers and all that, but a King sat down and wrote this song. It reveals His identity. It also reveals His intentions. He said in verse number 2, it said, "Let Him kiss me." He wants you to know He's got a big lip lock for you folks. He doesn't even wear Revlon. Nor Mary Kay. Thought I'd throw that knee in this morning. No smudges. He wants to kiss you with kisses of His mouth. He wants to get intimate with you today. And if you let Him sing your song and get in the holy place and sing to Him, I'll guarantee you, buddy, the love life will move and the sparks will fly. His intention is to sing. I mean, to kiss us. And His intention to kiss us, that is what... And by the way, He is not a sodomite. Neither is He a whoremonger. That scripture, rightly interpreted, means that's God's way of blessing His people. That's His intention.